Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. Here are your hosts, Bill Kennard and Tom Grandy.
Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. I'm Bill Kennard, along with our company's founder, Tom Grandy. This program is titled, Why Business Best Practices Are Important to Your Company. Tom, business best practices are at the heart of what we teach here at Grandy & Associates. What about Mike's presentation caught your attention?
Bill, Mike mentioned a survey he took in a medium-sized city. He called 200 plumbing contractors to basically find out how they answer their phone. Guess what he found out? Of the 200 contractors he contacted, 50% did not even answer their phone. No, I don't mean they had a recording or an answering service. No one, that's right, no one answered the phone. Mike's presentation deals with best practices within the business side of a company's business. I don't know about you, Bill, but actually answering the phone would certainly be on the top of my list.
Oh, you're right, Tom. Answering the phone should be a no-brainer. As a matter of fact, you'd think that this would be so basic, it wouldn't even need to be on a reminder list of best practices. Mike also reinforced the fact that a majority of clients within the home environment are women. Home service providers, by nature, create a certain amount of fear and anxiety. He mentioned several things that should be a part of a company's best practices to reduce the fear and anxiety that's often present, especially among women. Well, this month's presenter is Mike Farias. Mike is the founder and CEO of two companies, Plumbing MD Incorporated and Fast Aid Success Systems. He is a former pastor and is an ordained minister with the Assemblies of God. He is also a licensed contractor in the plumbing, HVAC, and general building classifications. Mike is a gifted and inspiring speaker and has been published more than 25 times. He's considered by many to be a subject matter expert within the home services industry with a particular emphasis on plumbing and HVAC industries. He has developed numerous best practice systems and owns many trademarks and other intellectual property rights. Mike is passionate about the plumbing service industry and ministry and spends his time developing leaders in both areas. And now, with why business best practices are important to your company, here's Mike Farias with this month's Prophet University audio series presentation.
The call came late on a Sunday afternoon. I could tell the lady on the other end of the phone was very upset. Her family had been without water for 2 days. The kids needed bathing, the dishes were piling up, everybody was hungry, all because her husband is a do-it-yourselfer. He decided that he could repair the leak in the shower faucet all by himself. So after numerous trips to the Home Depot and getting in way over his head, he had succeeded in turning a simple task into an expensive lesson. And probably only after his wife threatened him, he decided to call for expert help. This is a very common scenario. We get these calls all the time. I'm in the plumbing service industry. My name is Michael Farias. I am the plumbing doctor. We in the trades view this guy as an idiot. Yes, we applaud him for the courage to try, but we also laugh at his pain and failure. Major home improvement big box stores have slogans such as, "Don't do it yourself without us," and "You can do it, we can help," and the place of the helpful hardware folks. They entice us to DIY, do it yourself. Maybe it ought to be TIY, try it yourself. Because what happens all too often is failure, damage, and catastrophic results. Personally though, I love the do-it-yourselfer. Why? Because they eventually cry out for help. They call me, and they call you, the home services expert, and they pay dearly for their folly. It doesn't matter how talented they are with their hands and their tools. Their simple do-it-yourself project never seems to come out right and on time and on budget because they don't know the tricks of the trade. Every trade has tricks. Every industry and business has them and needs them. Your lawyer has tricks. The plumber has tricks. Your accountant has tricks. The electrician has tricks. Your doctor has tricks. The painter has tricks. Your dentist has them. They all have their tricks of their trade. How do you like getting a root canal? It's brutal. I've experienced a three-visit root canal, hours in the chair, horrible ordeal, but hey, what are you going to do? Anything to get relief, right? My daughter, who worked in the dental industry, told me of a friend of hers who did one-hour root canals, and his patients raved about him and loved him. Really? A quick, pain-free, one-visit root canal? Really? So when I needed the dreaded procedure, I decided to pay him a visit. It didn't matter to me that he was over 500 miles away. I booked a flight, rented a car, and made a day of it. I could hardly believe it. It was true. 1 hour in, out, pain-free, a luxurious experience. If I ever need another root canal, I know where I'm going. It was great. If a root canal can be great, that is. So I asked my family dentist and friend, what is the difference between the 3-hour guy and the 1-hour guy? He said it is a combination of equipment, experience, and education. 2 out of 3 won't do it. It takes all three. Equipment and experience alone is not enough. I'm sure the 3-visit root canal guy has plenty of experience. He's probably drilled thousands of teeth. Same method, over and over. Same painful procedure, over and over. Equipment and experience is not enough. You need education too. Education on best practices. My guy is the best because of best practices. In any industry, the best of the best have them and use them. They are simple, tried, and tested strategies that work. It seems we find best practices everywhere except in the world of small business contracting. We can refine the criteria to particularly the home services industry, and we can break it down even further to the demand services industry. The more specialized of a service provider you are, the worse it tends to be. Why is that? It is because at heart, you and I, the owner-operator, contractor, we are a hands-on do-it-yourselfer. It almost sounds like a curse word, doesn't it? But you say, what's wrong with doing it myself? I take pride in the things I can do by myself. I am self-taught in the school of hard knocks. I have a PhD in self-inflicted pain. Well, let me ask you this. Would you go to a dentist who is self-taught? Would you want your kids to see a pediatrician who is self-taught? Would you seek the help of a tax advisor who was a do-it-yourselfer? Of course not. But you think it's appropriate to call yourself a business owner and have done next to nothing when it comes to learning how to run a business. You have best practices in your trade and are probably an expert craftsman, but you have no business best practices. So you struggle for success, and your poor clients are abused, as is your family. They make concessions and sacrifices so you can stay in business. Maybe I'm speaking to the wrong crowd today. After all, you wouldn't be listening to this if you were not interested in getting better at what you do, right? But don't just listen. Do something about it. Put some action into what you're going to learn today. I'm going to tell you what best practices are and why you need them. Best practices are the tools you need in order to provide your clients with an experience they will consider memorable and who will desire to repeat the experience again and again, and can do so by simply choosing you and your brand again. You need best practices in order to provide your client with the experience they desire and deserve. If you don't provide the experience, somebody else will. They win, you lose. You are on your way to failure. In one small market my brand Plumbing Doctor entered, we generated nearly $250,000 of revenue providing services in just the first year. How did we do it? Simple. By offering best practices when nobody else in the marketplace did. our revenues continue to soar. Best practices encompass everything from branding and marketing to truck inventory. I'm going to take you on a whirlwind tour of a day in the life of a best practices company. It begins with marketing, advertising, and branding. In order for the buying public to engage your company, your marketing, advertising, and branding has to work. It has to persuade the consumer to choose you. One of the things I hear over and over from people needing services is this: I didn't know who to call. Practitioners in the home services industry do such a horrible job in the area of marketing and branding that it is very easy to differentiate yourself from the rest. I can't tell you how many times I've heard a guy tell me that his method of marketing is word of mouth. Oh, very cool answer. But it is code for I don't do anything. It is code for I don't know what to do. Something else I hear often is it's too expensive. I can't afford to advertise. The truth is you can't afford not to, but you don't know what to do. Gone are the simple days of yellow pages and reps pitching the promise of phone calls. It is not just a catchy double page ad in the number two or number three position anymore that works. It is much more complex today. It takes expert, proven methodology. It is a science. It takes best practices. Have you ever wondered why you are bombarded by telemarketers representing Google listings? It's because we in the trades are low-hanging fruit. We are considered uneducated, unsophisticated, technology-challenged people who know nothing about how to market our offerings. We are easy pickings for the fast-talking slicksters who promise to make our phone ring. It is a whole new world that makes my head spin. YP Online, Google Pay-Per-Click, AdWords, Pay-Per-Call, Angie's List, Home Advisor, Yelp, and more are coming all the time. There is a feeding frenzy going on out there. What do I do? Well, you've got to spend money to make your phone ring. So make sure you get a good return on the investment. Listen to this. My company did some research a while back in a secondary size market. We called 200 plumbers. We found them on the internet, yellow pages, newspapers, contractor board listings. Any place we could find them, we found them. 50% of them didn't even answer their phone. There were answering machines, voicemail, answering services. Some phones just rang and rang and rang forever. One lady must have been the wife of a contractor who answered, "Hello." There was a baby screaming in the background and a dog barking its head off. It was a brutal phone experience. Another lady told us that her husband was sleeping. Best practices? I don't think so. Even in an area as simple as answering the phone. How about just answering the phone for starters? You will probably be better than half of your competition just by answering your phone live. You are wasting money if you don't know how to answer your phone properly. Best practices incorporate a phone script and an understanding of what needs to happen in 60 seconds or less. My task today is not to give you best practices, but to reveal to you that you need them. Well, let's continue our tour. Okay, so let's say you got lucky. Somebody actually called you. Your advertising and marketing worked. So you set the call. Scheduled for when? When you get around to it? Oh, when it suits you. Between 8 and 5. Next week. What, when? The poor client. Their hope is that you will just show up. They will witness a miracle if you actually show up in the promised time slot. This idea of showing up is called dispatching in best practices terminology. There is a method to it and a strategy that produces results. It prevents you from chaos and crisscrossing the map. It adds efficiency to your operation, which adds dollars to your bottom line and simplifies your life. You need best practices because you will never grow beyond what you can handle without them. I was talking with a contractor one day who was a one-truck operation. He said he used to have several guys, but it drove him nuts, so he scaled it down to just him. I immediately realized he couldn't manage success. I'm not saying that the one-truck operation is a failure, but I do understand what it is like to own one, because I did. Vacations? No. If I didn't turn the wrench, I didn't eat. Days off? Expensive. There was a better way for me, and it includes best practices. Okay, let's move on. Let's say you actually do show up to the needy customer's home. It is now that their level of anxiety dramatically escalates. Well, why is that? Because you are parking in their brand new $20,000 cobblestone driveway, probably leaking all kinds of greasy fluids all over the place. Let me ask you this, is your vehicle trade dressed and easily identifiable? Or is it a beat up, unmarked, dirty white van? You know, the kind a serial killer drives? In today's world of home invasion robberies and the like, it is a best practice to remove fear and anxiety from your client's experience. Oh, they hear you roar into the driveway and they are looking out the peephole of their front door, only to see the technician who is dragging himself up to their doorstep. They hope he is the technician. Oh no, wait, probably they hope he is not the technician. Is he trade dressed and easily identifiable? Or is he wearing street clothes? Looks like he's in rehab, has jailhouse tats and piercings, has a butt crack hanging out, spiked hair and a cigarette that he spits out just before he bangs rudely on the door. Does he smell like pot and booze? He's probably filthy and has a mouth to match. These are not best practices. These are typical practices in the home services industry. It is time to break the mold. In our industry of home services, the majority client is a home alone woman. Best practices eliminate her fear and anxiety and do not add to them. Examine your practices. What kind of experience are you providing? Do you shake her hand? Do you not shake her hand? Well, what makes you comfortable? Well, who cares what makes you comfortable? It's not all about you. It's all about her comfort. Okay, diagnose the problem already. That's what you're good at. Now let's discuss pricing. Is the price given up front, or is it going to be a surprise? Do you flat rate? I recently had an experience with a drywall guy at a property that I own. Needed some drywall work done in one of the rooms. So he walks in, surveys the situation, was wall, ceiling, and he excuses himself for a minute and he goes to his truck. 2 minutes later, he comes back, hands me a business card with a number $1,000 on the back of the card. And I was astonished. That was quick. Sharp guy, I figured. Then I asked him, how'd you come up with that number? And he told me this. Well, I just figured about how much it would cost, and I figured about how much I wanted to make. So that's how I came up with the price. Unsophisticated, unprofessional. Who knew if he was going to make any money or not? Do you have a menu pricing system? Are you charging by the hour or by the minute? Are you giving a free estimate? What does an estimate mean to the buyer? I'll tell you what it means. It means that the price is going to change, and it will never change in their favor. Or maybe you gave a bid. Do you know what a bid means to the customer? It is an invitation to get other bidders. Oh, I see. It's going to be an auction. And it's a reverse auction. The low bidder doesn't win. He loses because he's not going to make any profit doing the job. You are a home services provider. The expectation is you are a ripoff. How do you determine what to charge for your services anyhow? It's a guessing game. If you're in the home of a client who appears well-to-do, the price goes up. If you're on the other side of the tracks, your price goes down, of course. Oh, I see. You determine your prices by having your wife call your competition and pretend to be a shopper. Try to find out how much they charge per hour. Then to outsmart them, you charge less. Very shrewd. What you don't know is that they are going broke. And this method of pricing will only mean that you will go broke faster than them. Well, who's the smart one now? The fancy car that his wife drives? The designer clothes that his kids wear? And all the perception of success is due to the high balance on their credit cards and the second mortgage he has on his house. He is about to be foreclosed upon, and the fancy car is about to be repossessed. Best practices give you the necessary information needed to price your services fairly, consistently, and profitably. Let's move on. So you sell the call. You close the deal. You get them to sign on the dotted line. Congratulations. Now what? You've got no inventory with you, so you are not prepared to do the job. So what do I do? Do I reschedule? No way. I've got a hot one on the hook. So I go parts chasing. Without a fully stocked service vehicle, you spend your valuable time running after parts. Your poor client doesn't know if you're at the parts shop, the donut shop, or the barber shop. You stop at the warehouse for parts, and you stop by home for a quickie. Your customer's perception is that they're paying you for your time. Well, where are you? What's taking you so long? How much is this costing me? You go to the supply house and have donuts or popcorn and coffee as you wait for someone to pull your order. I've even heard of guys asking their client for money up front to purchase the parts. What a joke. No wonder they will never call you back. No wonder you struggle for success. An inventory stocking and tracking system is essential. It is a profit center. You finally finish the task. Okay, well done. Now it's your favorite part of the job. Time to reap the harvest. It's time to get the money. Is there an invoice? What does it look like? Is it professionally done? Do you document anything? Do you document everything? Do you get their email address? Is there a written warranty? Will you accept a check? Or is it cash only? Are you equipped to accept their credit card? Why not? Do you know how much it costs you to swipe their card? Are you willing to give the bank a piece of your action? How much you got to give to the bank? Is it 2%? 4%? 10%? I don't know. So you say it's too big of a hassle to accept credit cards. It's just too expensive, too costly. Let me ask you this. How much more does it cost you to not accept credit cards? How many potential clients do you lose because you don't provide a convenient way to take their money? How many people would spend more with you if you accepted credit cards? What about tracking all this stuff? Insurance tracking, bill paying, payroll, collections, on and on it goes. Oh, I'm exhausted just thinking of how difficult it is to run your business. And we're not even done with the tour yet. Did I say business? Excuse me. This is not a business. This is a job. And you're not running it. It is running you. Running you into the ground and to the poorhouse. You work much too hard and have paid your dues for way too long and are way too valuable to allow this to happen. You need best practices. You need a winning combination and strategy. You need systems that are proven to work. Start today. Change your life. Okay, we need to wrap up. Let's finish the tour. Why will they ever call you again? What kind of leave behind collateral do you have so they will remember your brand other than a big mess and a bad experience? Is there a customer retention tool? Is there a customer retention program opportunity presented? Oh, I see. A customer retention program. What I mean by a customer retention program is this. Some call them service agreements. Is there a free whole house inspection included with your visit today? A service agreement is simply a prepaid strategy designed to build a relationship between your customer and your brand. Pick up on this. It is prepaid. They pay you to be their service provider. It is a prepaid strategy designed to build a relationship between your customer and your brand. Did I say brand? Yes, I did. Who are you? What is your brand? Your brand is not your name painted on the side of a truck. It is much more than that. And believe it or not, you are a brand. But unless you learn the power of branding and how to use branding properly, you are an unknown brand, and it's not working for you. Okay, now it's time to head back to the shop or back home for you. The day is finally over. Or is it? Best practices demand that today you begin preparation for tomorrow. I fully understand the worker you are, the hands-on, do-it-yourselfer, self-reliant, independent individual, because I am you. I had to do it myself. Back in my day, there was no help. There was no best practices training and education. There was no internet and instant knowledge. Little to no videos or seminars. I had to create and invent and implement and do the research and development myself. It took a decade to develop best practices that today are systems that run my companies. I do thousands of service calls annually, generating millions of dollars in over 150 zip codes in 3 states, and I do it with systems that are best practices. Today, you are without excuse. You don't have to go it alone. You don't have to take a decade to figure it all out. Best practices training and education is available. You owe it to yourself, you owe it to your client, you owe it to your spouse, to your family, and to your future to seek out and implement best practices. Yes, you are a proud do-it-yourselfer, but be wise enough to know when to call for help, when to call for the experts. It will be the best move you ever make. The doctor is out.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 877-202-8891. The vision of Grandy & Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com or give us a call at 1-877-202-8891. Profit University Audio Series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-877-202-8891. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.